If I asked you, what is the truth about yourself? Would that be a difficult question to answer? Eric says no.
Basket case.
A basket case full of what? Full of good and evil. You know, not too many people in this world who can really say that. Great amount of people will say that they're good. And great amount of people will dismiss great many others as evil.
I think people don't like evil. They prefer the word bad.
Very good. And there are some who are under the control of the evil one, who become evil and their mind no longer knows what is good. And they just commit evil and atrocities in this world, and they tell you, I don't know why. That's who I am. Mm. And that is a pretty serious indication that sin and the violence of sin exists on earth. You know, you can see all of these things on the computer. And I'm asked a question, you probably asked that question, that what would made some human being decide to blow up themselves and kill as many children and adults as they can. Is that good?
No.
Is that evil?
Yes.
Do you know that all of us within us have that potential? To do very good and to also commit evil. But how are we spared from the violence of sin and self?
By our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, isn't that the truth then? Jesus came to set us free. Free from evil and the violence of evil inside us. And he also came to spare us and protect us from the evil one. And Jesus said, I want you to know that I came to save the world from sin. From the suffering of sin, from the great tragedy and violence of sin that bring about internal conflicts. It brings about spiritual illness, mental illness, and therefore physical and emotional and social and academic and financial illnesses. Jesus came to save us from that and then to prosper us. And to give us a brand new abundant life if we really trust him over our struggles with sin. And he said, you know, I came that ye may know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from your own evil. Free from the evil of others. That we can rejoice in the manifold trials and temptations. We cannot rejoice in sin, can we? Can we rejoice in evil?
No.
We don't. We actually mourn and weep and feel shame and guilt and terrible because of sin in us or sin around us. And the more you behold and experience the transforming love and grace of Jesus through his living truth, the more you feel horrible for the state of the world. God will give you discernment as to what is going on in your life and the life of others. But you know, discernment comes only through a personal life application with Jesus. And the discernment come in measures. I've seen so many Christians who have no discernment, but they think they do. Their understanding and assessment of events are poor. You know why? Because they refuse to know the truth about themselves. And they refuse to know the truth about the saving grace of Jesus, and they don't know how it works to set them free. Most of our suffering as Christians come from our misunderstanding and lack of willingness to surrender to the living truth of Christ. As I shared this morning, if we spend time daily in prayer, not as a ritual, it is not a ritual. It is an indispensable part of life. Jesus is life. And we are to spend time not, oh, I'm glad I've done my devotion this morning. Or I'm so glad I've done my devotion at night. There is no salvation by works, by filling time. Salvation is by faith, living faith, joyous faith, transforming faith. And yes, there are many times when we are going to be frail and weak and we will fall into temptations. But we know how to be rescued quickly. How to come quickly and boldly to Jesus and say, I have fallen, but I know your arm is there to lift me up again. Therefore, I confess my sin and my limitation, and I know that you alone can save me from the violence thereof. Now, the leaders of the church during the days of Jesus and prior to this and after that did not want to accept the truth. They believed that if they went through the rituals, and if they studied the Bible, and if they told other people how to live their life, they thought that they are the remnant and they will be going to heaven. And when Jesus came and exposed their wickedness, they said, how do you claim that you know my Father when you are murderers and hypocrites and planning to kill me? And that is what we have been studying. God has given us all of this equipment to really help us fight the good fight of faith. These are the tools that God has given us. Always in our mind, in all things and in all places, whether it be the workplace, whether it be your home, my home, whether it be the school, whether it be the stores, the gym, wherever God sends us. We should always contemplate that question, because when we don't, we enter into temptation and we cause the adversary to regain control. In our mind, it is all about salvation. That is the truth about our existence on earth. It is all about your salvation and my salvation and the salvation of the world. Now, if you want to excel in knowledge, in wisdom, in understanding, in discernment, and if you want your self-esteem to be solid, and if you want to prosper, that should be the theme of your existence. It is not about manipulating others and lying to them to get what you want. That is sin. That takes away all of these traits. It's about Jesus came to save sinners in whom I am chief. And therefore, Lord, I ask for my forgiveness. And I ask for the power of your saving grace and the control of the Holy Spirit in my life, that my sin be remitted. And as you save me from the violence thereof that Jesus have experienced, I pray that your life within me make me nothing on this earth but a blessing of salvation to all, especially my family. If you want to have the highest self-esteem, and if you want your soul to prosper, you must have the helmet of salvation on in everything that you do. And because you have it, you're going to fall into trials and temptation. But faith in Jesus is going to be your shield against the darts of Satan. Of course you can't believe in yourself. You already fall. And you are sinning every day. You can't trust that someone else can satisfy your need either. Your shield against the darts of Satan is faith in the manifold love and grace and power of Christ. The blessed spirit of righteousness is to often make sure that when you are interacting in Jesus' name, that if you are serving Him in the sanctuary or in any other church, that if you are interacting with any other human being, whether it is your family or not, make sure you have a pure heart about it. No ulterior motives. The Bible said, do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. And grow ye not weary in well-doing, for in season ye shall reap if you faint not. Make sure your heart is right with God when you are interacting with man. It is all about glorifying God in your life and bringing His blessings to others. Okay? And the next is, we live the truth, we talked about the truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God should kick in. You have distress at work? You have distress in school? You have distress in relationships. You have questions and answer. You have worries and concerns about employment. Whatever it may be, you need to let the Word of God be the light for your path and decisions. It is the sword of the Spirit to quench all the darts of Satan. It is the living words of truth. And finally, regardless of the trials and the temptations in your life, if God has given you feet to go to places, make sure you are carrying the gospel of salvation to bring peace everywhere you go. If you are one of those individuals who feel so distressed and bring distress everywhere you go, maybe you need a brand new portion of the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon you, because there are internal issues inside. If people began to tell you, you know, it's kind of nice to see you and be around you, because even though things are going up and down, you seem to be solid and you are not distressed, you are not worried, you are not afraid. We become distressed, worried, and afraid when we want to live to the standards of others, not to the heavenly standards. The heavenly standards give us peace. Right? It should give us peace. And that's what Jesus came to give. Peace in time of storm. Peace be still. So if you do not recall the word of God in time of distress, maybe examine whether your relationship and your devotion is ritualistic, not spiritual. Because what you read and what you prepare for Sabbath, for the Bible study, or perhaps the message that Eric used, perhaps the song service, it is not just for others. That is what God has given you for you. You need it first. And then when you have devotion in the morning, it is you and God. And the Lord is already unveiling to you what you will need on that day. So let the Word of God work for you. And may the gospel of peace and salvation be in you to be carried everywhere you go. You will prosper. Next slide, please. We have been examining already all of this, that the truth is the first casualty in wars, and especially in spiritual warfares. We don't want to hear the truth. But if we really seek after truth, the Lord will set us free. Next slide. We talked about the safeguards regarding the truth. He said, be very careful, my brothers and sisters. You know, heaven is for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I trust the word of Jesus to be truth, and it is scary. Because the Lord said that narrow is that path, and straight is the way that lead to eternal life, and only few shall find it. And He said, broad is the way, and easy that lead to perdition, and many shall find it. And then He also said that many shall come unto me on that day of judgment. and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we professed your name, and haven't you done signs and wonder in the midst of us? And Jesus will tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You know why? Because of these. When the truth was spoken, they did not accept it. Neither did they want to walk in it, but they walked contrary to the truth. Okay? They also resisted the truth. Like Pilate, like the Pharisees, like many others, resisted when we don't need to. Those are the safeguards. Accept and don't walk contrary to the truth, even if it's convicting and hurtful. I know that some very dear brothers and sisters and others come and try to meet with me and tell me about their needs and struggles. And at times, I know that once I share with them the truth, some of it will be very acceptable. And others, I know right away, they will resist because it is not what they wanted to hear. But regardless of how hurtful the truth is, accept it. But I have other people who often tell me that, and when I hear that, I feel so encouraged for them. I said, you know, what you said is not what I really wanted to hear, but it is true. And you know, I'm going to have to ask for greater help from heaven. That is the right way to go about it. That is the right way to go about it. Secondly, don't temper with or change the truth to accommodate your sinful struggle, lest you receive a strong delusion to believe and live a lie. And many Christians have fallen into these traps. That's why we have so many Bible versions. Because there's so many lifestyles. Everyone wants to connect with God in his and her own way. So rather than asking the Lord to lift them up unto him, they are trying to bring God down to them, to their level. Therefore, they are being their own gods. And God, the Bible said, has given them that delusion to believe a lie. Because they keep rejecting the truth and living their own sinful way, rather than confessing it is wrong and crying out for help. Don't ever be among these. Okay? Do not resist the truth, lest you grieve the Holy Spirit and your mind become corrupt and reprobate like Pilate. And what was his end?
Death.
Committed suicide. Next slide, please. Effects of truth in our lives. We have studied the story of Daniel. And we have seen how the truth set this man free. Free not just from his own sins and limitations, but free from the snares of Satan and the sins of others. And God glorified his name. The truth became a joy, a delight. And we saw that through his life, even the king have believed in his God to be in truth, the true God over all, who have the power to create and the power to save and the power to reveal all truth. You know, it's amazing. That's why God called us to be his ambassadors. So we can shine with the light of truth in our lives. That our employers and our teachers and those who work with us look at us and say, truly, something is very different about you. Every time you are given a task and every time you touch something, somehow God prosper it. You become an invaluable asset. But not when you try to live up to other people's standards so you can get their gratification and approval. No, you lose on the truth. But when you live the living gospel of truth like Daniel, led by the Holy Spirit of truth in Jesus' name, sets us free from our bondage of sin, shield us from the sins of the world, and save us from the suffering thereof on earth and eternally. Don't you want to be in this category? That's my prayer every day. Secondly, Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. We can only be made holy from the inside if we spend time reading the living words of truth, seeking the truth, and living it. Okay? The truth purifies our hearts, sanctifies our mind, and transforms our character and lives. Because our desires slowly change. And it's not our work. God worked it in his own wonderful, intricate way. And Ephesians 4, the Bible encourages always to speak the truth in love. The truth gives us a strong foundation in building fruitful relationships with God and man, and protects us from the fatal lies and deception of the world. You know, many people build relationships based on lies. Everyone tries to tell the other what he or she wants to hear. Such a false way to begin a relationship. And now are we surprised that we see relationships fall apart? And not just that. We see people hurting and harming each other. Because they refuse to know the truth about themselves and then to do the right thing about it. And many people seek relationship for all the wrong reason. When they are seeking after true love, they go about it the ways of deception, the ways of the world, the ways that harm and hurt. When God said, listen, I came that you may have life. I want you to have the best of relationships. And I'm going to give you the safeguards that you may enjoy the best of relationship and bring the same to others. Many people in this world love to live a very fruitful life. But most humanity don't know how. Jesus came to show us how. And that is exactly what he requires us. To have the best fruitful relationship in truth. Because that truth will set that relationship free from great unnecessary distresses. Okay, next slide, please. How can the truth effectively work for us and others? This is the last slide we're going to be dealing with. And I would like us to open John chapter 4. Here are the simple principles the Bible gives us. That the living word truth works for us and for others whom we are in touch with. And those others can be our immediate family members. Who need to know the truth about themselves and about Jesus on their behalf. It is about those co-workers and employers. It's about those students and teachers. It's about those cousins and uncle and aunts, our neighbors, and those whom the Lord may send our way. There's a wonderful story there in the Gospel of John chapter 4 about a woman. A woman that was, by human standards and by the living word of God, was no good. A woman that was hurt in so many relationships with men. And she was already scorned. She was already ostracized by men. Even her own people did not accept her. They gave her certain names. And of course, she was a Samaritan. So also the Jews scorned her just for being a Samaritan, even though they didn't know who she was. And she had that encounter with Jesus. The truth and the life. And this is the encounter that every human being on earth will have the privilege to face. It is what we made out of it. And how we react to the living truth through the love of Jesus that determines the outcomes in our lives. And let us read a little bit of that story. I'm going to read from verse 1. And I'm going to read continually. And I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and mind as to where to go from this point henceforth. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptize more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs to go through Samaria. Remember, all the Jews avoided to go to Jerusalem through Samaria because they considered the Samaritans dogs, even though they were their cousins from the same lineage. Just because they believed in a different doctrine. The doctrine of Jacob. yet the Jews more lean to the doctrine of David. And they perceive that worshiping God is different. The Samaritan believed that we worship God in Samaria, where Jacob built the well. God has given Jacob the promise. And the Jews believe, no, we are to worship in Jerusalem, on the mount. That is where God sanctified. And over this doctrine, they hated each other. When God is love. Does that exist in denominations today?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so, Jesus decided, hey, now he's going to surprise his disciples. He's going to take them through Samaria, where they did not want to go. Because Jesus came to save some, or to save all. He loved some, or he loved the whole world. And he wanted to teach his disciples something about themselves and about others. So he needed to go through Samaria. And verse 5, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which is noontime. Okay, the third hour is 9 in the morning. The sixth hour is at noon. And imagine how hot it was. So he sat on the well to have some water. But the well was very deep, and he did not have a bucket. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. And just imagine his tender voice. He knew who she was. She did not. He knew about her life. And he knew why she came to that very moment when he was sitting at the well. And he probably whispered, give me some water, please. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She just confronted him with the truth. You know I am a Samaritan. How come you're asking me when you consider to be dogs? Now that you want water, you're trying to be nice to me? Jesus answered and said to her, listen to the words of truth now. If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Brand new knowledge, brand new light, brand new words of truth to someone who never heard it before. And she could have rejected him, she could have ignored him, and she could have got her water and gone without giving him any water. She had the choice that God is given to all of us to accept or to reject. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Said, you're trying to trick me? Where are you going to get living water? Of course, she could not understand the spiritual nature of his token. She only thought that he wants water and he is going to give her living water, but from where? He doesn't even have a bucket to go and draw water for himself. She continued to reason with Jesus, and that is okay. It is perfectly okay to reason with God. It's not disobedience. The Bible said in Hosea chapter 1 verse 18, let's reason together, saith the Lord. If your sins be like crimson, they shall be white as snow. It's okay to ask the Lord to give you further understanding of his living truth. It is okay to inquire of God's people what the word of God might have been understood in their individual life. But it is not good to resist or decline truth. And that is not what the woman of Samaritan have done. She was inquiring, asking, seeking further understanding of what is truth. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? She's trying to really begin to sense that maybe he is talking about something spiritual. Since physically, he doesn't have anything to really give her living water. So she is telling him, are you really greater than our own prophet, Jacob, who have given us the well to draw water from? And it is fair. She was not challenging Jesus. She was inquiring about further truth. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. If you keep drinking and hauling water from this well, you're going to come again tomorrow and drink some more. You will always be thirsty. Now he began to enlighten her. And then he continued and said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that is the most wonderful truth to be known to mankind. You see, our heart and mind and soul often thirst after sin. Correct? Often thirst after the pleasures of sin and of the world. And I don't know about you, but as we know in our lives and in the lives of many others every day, the more you get of the pleasures of sin, the more depressed you become. And the more severely dependent, you want more and more, and it never satisfies. It disables and cripples life in many different directions. But if you come to Jesus in the midst of the struggles, and you come to Him, and pray unto Him, and turn your struggles to Him, His living water comes quickly to cleanse our soul from every stain. And we cannot live without this living water. We need it every time we feel a thirst for righteousness. And it is that living water that will eventually spring forth out of us to help other struggling pilgrims. We have to experience the power of the living water in our daily living in order for it to spring forth and touch other struggling people who may give us a call or eat lunch with us or ask us a question somewhere on email or Facebook. And Jesus is saying that this water, it continues in us every day as we drink of it, and it eventually leads to everlasting life. We got the truth? He was trying to unveil this to the Samaritan woman. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Finally, she began to feel something is going on. Something, she began to understand there is a mystery here. And she began to inquire, okay, Lord, give me that water. You see, Jesus said, ask and ye shall
receive.
Seek and ye shall
find.
Knock at the door of heaven and it shall
open
unto you. Did she do that? She did the three of them. She seek further knowledge of truth. She keep knocking at the door of heaven for the everlasting water. And now she asked directly, give me that living water that I thirst no more. Listen to the answer that really confirmed the light of truth in her. Listen to the answer that Jesus gave. Jesus said unto her, okay, go, call thy husband and come here. Because she asked, seeked, and knocked, now the truth is going to come much more mightily. This is the second step. First is the step of conviction. Then the step of correction. than the step of transformation. Now he asked her to go and call her husband and come. If she had any questions or doubts at that time about who he was and what his intent were, now the Lord is going to set her free from all doubts. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. You know, perhaps she was covering her shame and trying to use forms of manipulation to hide the truth about herself from Jesus because she was ashamed of it. She said she had no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. This means you have spoken the truth. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. He is not a Samaritan. He never lived in this country. He never knew her. And now he is opening her up. Correction. Correction. I know also your hurt and pain, and I know why you had to live this life, and I know all the abuses that you have gone through. Imagine the avalanche of light that was coming upon her heart and mind during this moment. Imagine how she felt in this very moment. It's called the moment of truth. She said, I know, and imagine, I can't even imagine, I tried to visualize the face of Jesus when he was looking at her. And the great comfort that was coming upon her, even though fully ashamed. But she also have sensed the deep love and compassion of God toward her. He said, I know. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I would have loved to be there to watch that. I can see her eyes now tearing. I can see her heart giving way. I can see her surrendering. I can see her with a deep, earnest desire for a brand new life. And that living water that give her a new sense of identity. A new purpose in life. A new power divine where she does not have to be ashamed anymore for anything. Said, I see that thou art a prophet. Our father worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now she's inquiring further now about her doctrine confusion. Is it true? I'm learning from you. Is it true? What should I believe in? And that is what Jesus told us. How can the truth effectively work for us and others? Here is the requirement. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. What you know as Samaritan and what you know as Jews is not true. It is no longer about a place. If you want to worship God effectively, many people and many Christians believe that unless you come to their church, you cannot find God. And unless you become a member of their organization, you cannot find God. Well, Jesus fixed that problem. Which is still a problem in Christianity today. Many denominations, yet there is only one Savior and one church. Can we break through the barrier and love all of our brothers and sisters as part of the body of Jesus?
Yes.
We are sinners like they are. There's only one Savior for all of us. Can we love them the way Jesus is loving us every day?
Yes.
I believe we can. Can we be blessed by the love of God in them and through them? And can we bless them the same?
Yes.
I believe yes. But the desire and the decision is ours, like this Samaritan woman. The Lord told her right away, it is neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true, here it is, the true worshipers shall worship of the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. There are times when we sing songs that is according to the living truth. But is it by the Holy Spirit or by your own spirit and my spirit? Do we worship and serve God? Do I teach and preach to glorify myself or to glorify God? Is the Holy Spirit indeed guiding me unto all praise and unto all prayer and unto all worship? Or am I going through the motion to prove something to others that is not true? Wow. Am I extracting my self-esteem, or perhaps weakening it, through the acceptance and the approval and the affection of others? You don't have to do that. If you worship God in your heart, in your home, in the truth and in the spirit, you are not going to have any problem worshiping him in truth and in the spirit before everybody else. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up in you, I will draw all men unto me. Everything else will be added unto you. In all things, seek first what?
The kingdom of God.
The helmet of salvation. Did you see that? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in you, and all these things shall be added unto you. I was reading this week of my devotion, C.S. Lewis made a wonderful statement. He said, seek heaven and all the earth will be thrown into it.
Ooh. Wow.
Seek the earth and you will get neither. How true that is. Seek heaven. Worship God in truth and spirit. It's a joy. The devil will make it cumbersome. That is where he is successful. That you ought to seek everything else first. Rush, gosh, get up. No time to read the Bible or pray. Ooh, wow, wow. You watched something last night and you went to bed late, and now it is time to go to work. It's time to rush to school. No time to pray. No time to praise. No time for worship. Now, will it take toll on you if you are called to preach the gospel? Were you putting the right fuel in? Jesus said, for the truth to work for you, you got to make sure that you are worshiping God, not just by his living word of truth, but by the Holy Spirit in you. And I'm going to be preaching on that afterwards, about the seven principles that we ought to possess in us as we interact with God and with one another. All right? So the first principle is Jesus saying here, that you don't know how you're worshiping God. And it's kind of sad because I meet blessed brothers and sisters from different denominations. And some of them refuse to pray with me. They believe that because I am not a member and I don't believe like them, they ought to avoid me. And sometimes I would ask them if they would like to pray for me. No. Because you are not from our denomination. And as I said before, I was one of these for quite some years. You know, I did not believe that God is going to listen and the prayer to the others who are not knowing the Ten Commandments as I know them. And I was just as a sinner as all of them. It is good to be set free, right? To worship God in the truth and in the spirit. Love one another as Jesus, for God's sake, has loved us. And look at the next verse. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. That spirit is the spirit of humility. That I and all mankind are sinners, and Jesus came to save all of us from sin and the suffering and the violence of sin. we got to have that spirit of humility, the spirit of love, the spirit of compassion, the spirit of prayer for ourselves and for others. What you wish for yourself, wish it also for others. Okay? Regardless of who are these others. So that is the first principle. Now, you can read the rest of the story and how the truth really set this blessed woman free. Let us go ahead and read it very quickly. After the woman of Samaria really heard it, the woman said unto Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. She is still inquiring. She actually began to believe that this man is a prophet and more than a prophet. The spirit in him is opening her up. And his words are full of love and truth. Now she is asking him, when would that person come? Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, I am he.
Wow.
This is the final moment of truth. She could have accepted it or rejected it. And the truth as we know it, there were many reasons that should have compelled her to reject him. Who she was and who Jesus was. She's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. His doctrine is different from her doctrine. She is not good. He seemed to be a good man. And then what will her family and all of her nation say and do to her? Now she has a bad reputation already. And then she go and convert. She could have thought of the kind of persecution and maybe the murder she is going to face at the hand of her family and others. She's going to be adding insult to injury. She has a lot working against her. And now here Jesus comes and tell her, I am the Messiah, the Savior of the world. She had to make a very difficult decision. And upon this came his disciples now, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet not one man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Did you notice that? They were also prejudiced. They wanted to tell her, what do you want, woman? But they couldn't. Neither did they question Jesus, how come are you talking to a Samaritan woman? The Holy Spirit kept them silent. Because they needed to learn something about themselves and about others and about Jesus. The woman then left her water pot. She left the water behind that caused her to thirst again and again. Now her soul was full of living water. She left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now her mission has changed. Her heart and mind and soul has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now she was not afraid what man think of her and what man say about her. She has been set free. The truth has set her free from all of the chain and the bondage of sin and all the scorn and the ridicule and the dismay she has gone through all of her life. She says, come and see. I found the Christ. Amen. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. They went to see who is it. You know, she did not tell them he was a Jew. She was smart. She wanted them to have the same encounter with Jesus.
In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. That's why they went to town, to get some food. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. To the woman he talked about the living water. To the disciples he talked about the living bread. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Has any man brought him out to eat, anything to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, ready for harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. Jesus was preparing them for a great harvest they never seen among the Samaritans. He was telling them the true thing that gives life and prosperity in mankind is the living water and the living bread, which God the Father gave through His Son by the working of the Holy Spirit. He said, You've seen this woman. I have greater work to do. And now you're going to see the true bread bearing fruits. What you need to see and understand that I have labored and I have dropped the seeds of salvation. You will be called upon in the days to come to share the living bread and to bring in the great harvest into the kingdom. That is why I said, our goal and purpose on this earth is our salvation and the salvation of our families, the church, and others. And Jesus was telling them that all of the work that need to be done, I have done. And listen to what happened next. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. So some came believing the woman. Others did not, but they came to examine him anyway and to examine the truth. But when they heard him speak, they also believed on him and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the principles. We have to learn to worship Jesus in the truth. And in the spirit of humility and submission and surrender to Him. Secondly, we have already studied that in Bible study. That the Apostle John is saying, I wish that thou prosper and be of good health, as thy soul also prosper. For you have known the truth and lived the truth. Okay? So prosperity in this earth is not by your degree. Is not by your employment, and is not by your might and power in anything. It is by knowing and living the truth about your life in and through Jesus' name. That is the second principle. We prosper, believe, and walk in the truth that your soul and life prosper in every aspect. And finally, in 2 Timothy 2:14 and 15, I'm going to be spending more time on that in the future. The Bible said there that study to show thyself approved of God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Rightly dividing the words of truth. You cannot hear the word of God rightly unless you have received it rightly. And you cannot receive it rightly unless you know it. And you accept it in your heart. And that's exactly what the Bible is saying in Ephesians 4, we all know what it says there. Speak the truth in love, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. If we
receive the truth grudgingly, I don't think we'll be able to share it in love. So if you find yourself arguing and trying to impose the truth on others, this means you have not received it yet in love. And you are transferring your own failure and feelings on others. And that is exactly what we need to do. Worship God in the truth and in the spirit. Accept and believe His word and try by His own grace and strength and power to walk in the living truth every day, and we will prosper. And lastly, we have the responsibility to share the truth with us, because that very truth, as we share it in its unadulterated form with others, will not just bring salvation and blessing to others, but it will add to our own blessing and our own prosperity, and the love of God through His living words of truth will spring forth from within us, and will spring forth not just for our duration on earth, but as Jesus said, unto life eternal. May the living words of truth be our shield, be our sword, be our buckler, be our light, be our guide in all decisions. And may the living words of truth, in Jesus' name, be our victory over sin and all the suffering thereof. And may the living truth of Jesus secure our salvation unto life eternal. This is my prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together if you can. Lord, we have committed our heart and mind and body and soul, our love, our will, our life, our purpose, to the consuming power of your Holy Spirit of truth, to guide us in all decisions, to show us the way of life more abundantly and life eternal, and to grant us your power to tread over the serpent, the scorpion, and all the powers of the enemy. And in your name, may we prevail. And we pray that the end of our faith and trust in your living truth be your promised gift of life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.